I do not want to hold myself out, nor do I want anyone in here thinking that I am a low property damage specialist or expert. Just like everybody else in this room, I have probably handled more of those than I have anything else, but it's just purely a matter of that's what comes across your desk more than anything else. So I could not agree more with Quentin in that these are the hardest cases to try as a plaintiff. These are the easiest cases to try as a defendant. If you get the pictures in and you can say, look at this bullshit, there's nothing here, there's nothing there.
Well, it also depends, too, I think. I mean, granted, even if the pictures aren't in, it just kind of depends on how bad, I mean, if the pictures are in, sorry, it depends on how bad the plaintiff is. That's also scary because, you know, you could be dealing with somebody who just needed that little tap to throw them into three surgeries all over their back, which makes it a scarier case for us, too. So, yeah, overall, it'd be really nice to try a case and say it's bullshit. But there are times that we look at it and we're like, no, actually, this should be settled because it has the potential to be a lot riskier than you would think it would be.
The other thing to take into account is that oftentimes in these cases, you get pictures of one vehicle. Now, Farmers, Allstate, State Farm, somebody makes a property damage claim and it's a dent or a scratch in a bumper, and you're going to come out there and they're going to take 30-something photos of that scratch or dent so that they can figure out which one's the best one if they come in at trial to blow up and put on the big screen to say this is the type of damage you do backing into a light pole at Kroger. Now who gets back surgery from that? But you'll rarely see them take a picture of their own insured's vehicle. And in fact, that's the key in deposition is to find out, did their own insured ever take a photo? Because a lot of times, especially here in Texas, a lot of people in this room, and I've seen them out in the parking lot, a lot of people are driving big F-150s, Chevy Silverados, you got steel bumpers. You get a Ford Fusion, you get some other car like that, that runs into the back of that. And not a whole lot of damage to the back of the Tahoe, the Silverado, the F-150. But that probably totaled out the other vehicle.
Yeah,
and they don't want you to see that.
Well, if it's a liability denial, we don't take pictures. So that's absolutely right. Because once it's denied, there's nothing that we need to see. There's nothing to see here. So, which is also crippling to me, too, sometimes, because I'd love to see what it looked like, because the plaintiff's description of the damage is always pretty grotesque. And I'm like, well, I doubt the pictures look like that, and then there's no pictures in the file. So I would encourage that on both sides anyways, because we may not be able to, we may not have anything to provide for you to be able to defend your case on the plaintiff's side either.
So I think the lesson there is not every case that comes across your desk that appears to be a low property damage case is. However, some of them are going to be. So what do you do with those? That's what this paper was about, and that's what this talk is about. Now, I've tried, as of a couple weeks ago, 149 jury trials. About 100 of those have been on the defense side. About the other 50, roughly, have been on the plaintiff's side. My guess would be 2/3 to 3/4 of those would probably have qualified somewhere in the moderate to mild property damage category, just because that's just the nature of what the insurance companies decide they want to take the risk on. Now, if you have a case where you've got back surgery, you've got the little old lady who was on the edge and this was all it took to push her over, sure, ride that pony. What I'm kind of thinking most of the folks in this room are interested in, though, is the case that actually makes up 60 or 80% of everybody's docket, which I'm pretty sure is you're sitting still at a red light, somebody comes along and hits you at either just enough speed to make a damage that's barely visible, or just under the threshold of barely visible damage, and you've got somebody who's got 6 to 8 weeks of chiro, maybe a set of injections. Anybody got that case? Okay.
A few hundred of them.
Yeah.
Those are the cases that I think, those are the tough ones, right? Those are the ones that end up going to trial. Now, if you've got the surgical case and you've got somebody with $1 million worth of property, or excuse me, $1 million worth of coverage that causes your little old lady to get some back surgeries, that's a different animal. You can go nuts in that, on those things in the same way that you would if you get hit by an 18-wheeler, get a bunch of experts involved, prove up your case that way. What I think that this talk should be about, and what my understanding of it was the case where we're on a budget. We've got to make money on this case to keep these lights on, to keep these paralegals paid, and hopefully to keep Sally Mae at the door. So how do we do those things, all right? First of all, we're going to go through some of the basics of what it is to be involved in one of these crashes, some of the basics of the physics involved here. Because as strange as it may sound, and there may be people in this room that have been doing this 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and I know there are because I've known some of these people for a good chunk of that time, but there also very likely may be people in this room that do not know the very basics. I had that happen to me a few years ago in a very stark way. If you'll look in this paper on the fourth page over, you'll see a diagram of a spine and the cervical, and that's how it's pronounced, the thoracic, and that's how it's pronounced, followed by the lumbar vertebrae. It is not pronounced thoracic, but that's not obvious by the way it's spelled on a piece of paper. And I had to sit through a jury trial in Tulsa, Oklahoma about 10 or 15 years ago, listening for a day of this poor, actually I was playing defense at the time, so this poor plaintiff's attorney who, green around, you know, just young, just didn't know. And he sits there and refers to this injury in the thoracic region. That clang off anybody's ears like it does mine? Because thoracic is hard to hear, and the judge just kind of winces every time, and the nurse on the jury kind of winces every time. And before you know it, every time you hear thoracic, which is, it's... So if some of this stuff seems a little basic to some of you, I apologize, but don't be the guy saying thoracic in court. So if you're not aware of it, what generally happens in these scenarios? The classic scenario I talk about, the no visible to very, very, very low visibility property damage is almost always a rear ender or a front end deal, because if it wasn't, there'd be something to see, all right? Occasionally you'll get these from the side, but I'm going to treat the standard case here as the rear ender at a red light, you're leaving a stop sign, those sort of things.